Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The readings from Holy Scripture for us today are from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and also Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. I'll read them now. The Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." And in Romans, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." These are our texts. You may be wondering about the service today. Some of you are visitors or guests. You've perhaps been here before, but not so often. The service today is different than what we usually do. The familiar liturgy is missing. The confession and absolution with which we normally begin has been moved until after the sermon. The three readings assigned for this Sunday have given way to various biblical passages that we hear throughout the service today. The order and structure of our service is following the small catechism, the basic teachings of the Christian faith, the things that every Christian should know and believe: the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, holy baptism, confession, and the sacrament of the altar, with brief explanations about what they mean. You might consider taking today's bulletin home with you and using it during the week, letting the words that you've heard today and said today shape your beliefs and your prayers and your life, because it's an excellent summary of what we believe, teach, and confess in this congregation. For those who are new to the congregation or those who've started coming since COVID, you've never seen this service before. This is something brand new. In fact, it's been over 2 years since our last Consecration Sunday, something we do once a year. If you're still in our adult instruction class or have begun visiting recently, we simply ask you to rest with us and to receive the word. If you're a new member in the congregation, we invite you through Consecration Sunday to find ways that you can serve within the congregation. If you're not sure how to do that, just ask a longtime member for help. I also know that some of you who are here will be moving soon. It's hard to say goodbye, and yet we give thanks that you have that you have faithful congregations waiting to receive you when you move. And though you cannot give yourself to the service of the Lord in this place or to your brothers and sisters here, your gifts, talents, and time will be a blessing to your new church family. In every congregation, there are things that need to be done, and there are people needed to do them. That's not going to be the main focus of the sermon, but it's something worth thinking about. And it's just as true here at Our Savior as anywhere else. What happens in our congregation doesn't happen by magic. The grounds need to be maintained, and maintained in such a way that the beauty outside draws people to the beauty that is inside and to our beautiful Savior. There's upkeep and cleaning that needs to happen so that the space in which we gather for worship and study is fit for those activities and for our life together. The offerings have to be collected, counted, and deposited so that we can pay our staff and our bills and purchase supplies. Holy Communion doesn't just drop from heaven onto our altar, but it must be prepared and put there so that we can receive together the body and blood of Christ. And of course, there are so many other things that need to be done and things that could be done as a congregation. Maybe the last one to mention is the big one, living nativity. A number of you have asked me about that recently. Weeks of preparation that we have in the fall as a congregation that culminate in two evenings of proclaiming Christ's birth to our community. It takes every hand available to make that happen, including hands beyond our congregation sometimes, and that will be just as true this year as in any years past. But I do want to make clear, in case you get the wrong idea from what I've said so far, the main point of church is not about how we serve, though serving is needed. Nor is church the only place that we have to serve. I'd give you the wrong impression if I gave you the idea that you should be at church all the time doing things for our church life, because we have so many other callings as well. We have our homes, our family and extended family, our friends and neighbors, our jobs and volunteer opportunities. And of course, it's also true that not all of us are able to serve in the same ways. There are differences in health and strength, differences in skills and in talents, differences in character and personality that make us suited for different things. So serving at church is important, but it is nowhere near the most important thing about church or the most important thing in our lives. So we might ask the question, what is the center of our life? What is it that we live for? When we think about ourselves or other people in the world around us, all of us have something for which we live. Do we live for play and for fun? Do we live for work? Do we live for certain experiences or for pleasure? Do we live in order to be loved, honored, appreciated, and cherished by others? Do we live for ourselves? There may be ways in which we can see our failure to live as we ought, the focus that we have purely on ourselves or on things that are not eternally meaningful. But we do know one thing as we gather in church today, and it is what our Lord lived for. Our Lord lived for you, and he died for you, that you might be his, and that you may receive all the treasures that he won for you by his death and resurrection. And that's the heart of what we do as a church when we gather. It's why we have the weekly divine service. And next week, a weekly divine service on Sunday morning in which we'll all be gathered together. No more 9 a.m. and 11 a.m., but simply one 10 a.m. service for us. This is the time when our God enters this space. This is the time when our God comes and joins us to serve us with his gifts. As much as Consecration Sunday is about our serving, the heart of every Sunday is the divine service. The heart of every Sunday is God serving you. I often like to picture this as if when we use the word serving, we sometimes might think of a restaurant, and I find that to be a fairly fitting image. And I like to picture us as we gather on Sunday morning as those who are being waited on by our Lord. He is the one who comes, the towel draped over his arm, who not giving us what we order, but giving us what he himself has cooked up, giving us the chef's special as he comes, serving us with his forgiveness, forgiving all of your sins, all of your selfishness, all of your failures, serving you with his life, a life that will never end, serving you with his salvation, serving you with his true body and blood. That's the beating heart of our life together in the church. And all of those little ways that we have of serving or of contributing to our life together, all of them are ultimately centered on what happens here. If they are not serving our gatherings on Sunday mornings, then they have no place in the life of our church. No place, because this is all about Christ and what he does for us. He is the center of our life as a congregation. His word and his Holy Communion are the beating heart of our life in the church. At times, I know, when we think about the serving that is needed, the things that have to happen, we may be tempted to grumble, we may be tempted to complain, we may be tempted to hold ourselves back and keep ourselves from giving to the congregation as we should, or serving our brothers and sisters in the church. We often have a tendency to magnify what we do and to notice the failure of others. Today, we come and repent of all of these things. We ask again for our Lord's forgiveness. We want to do better. Paul, in the Holy Scripture readings that we heard at the beginning of the sermon, says this: He says the love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. And he doesn't mean simply our love of Christ is what controls us, but rather the love of Christ, his love for us, is what controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Christ has died for all of us and for all of our sins. And therefore, all have died. We just reviewed baptism. Baptism is our death with Christ. Our sinful nature was put to death when that water and the word washed over us. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him. For him who for their sake died and was raised. Christ died, and he rose again. Not so that we would be servants, but so that we might live. That we might live now in this time, and that we might live forever with him. And so that we would live not simply for ourselves, but for him. Now, when we say that, we can ask the question, what is it that Christ needs from you or from me? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing we can give to Christ that is not already his, that does not already belong to him. But our neighbors do need something from us. Christ has filled us with his love. He pours out his forgiveness on us. He gives us his gifts so that we can turn from ourselves and love and serve our neighbors in every need. And I know this congregation. I know that all of you, each of us, have different gifts and skills and talents and abilities, different things we bring to the life of the congregation here, different ways that we have to contribute and care for one another. St. Paul said, none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Whether we have much that we can give or little, whether we have great ways to serve or small ways, we are the Lord's. And he died and lived again, that he might be our Lord, that we might live under him in his kingdom now and forever. And that we might serve him, not as servants, but as brothers and sisters, in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. So we gather again today, thinking of the life of our congregation. And I'll be honest, saying to you that now, I think for the first time in a year and a half, I feel like church life is not so much about trying to figure out how to manage the moment, but an opportunity to begin looking ahead and looking forward. Looking to the things that we have to do together and our life together in Christ. And that's why Consecration Sunday is such a blessing and gift, coming now as it does. It gives us the opportunity to determine how we can serve, how we can gather, what we can do as we come together as Christ's people. And even more, it reminds us that our life comes from Christ, that he is the center and the heart of all that we do. That there is no serving of us that makes us closer to God, but rather it is God serving of us that makes us close to him, as he serves you again and again and again, and even right now, with his forgiveness, with his life that never ends, with his salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.